Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and today I'm joined by Senior Associate Pastor Jaime Gonzalez and Anna Christian Fellowship's Pastor Mark Wyatt, and we are talking about Christmas. Yep, it's Christmas here at Christ Fellowship and Anna Christian Fellowship, and we are focused in on the prologue of John's Gospel. That's where John unpacks in beautifully eloquent language the significance of Christ's birth. So we hope you'll join us in services online and in person, and also here on the podcast as we consider the majesty of the incarnation. All right, welcome back, everybody. We are here, and it is Christmas season.
Yay,
Christmas. For Christmas. I know the church is beautifully decorated. My tree is up. We put yard art out, but now I noticed as I drove off that the wind blew it down. So it's a little windy here today in McKinney.
Well, we haven't put anything out to be blown down, so you're way ahead of us.
Yes.
I'm here with Jaime and Mark. Bruce is not here. Mm-hmm. Where is Bruce, Jaime?
Bruce is in Cuba with the mission team. They left yesterday at 3 a.m., and they're going to spend the whole week training pastors and ministering there in Cuba.
Yeah, we're really excited. So we ask everyone to join us in prayer for their safe journey home and a fruitful week of ministry in Cuba. So that's really exciting. This is kind of a relatively new partnership, I think, between Christ Fellowship and a organization down there. And there's just a lot of needs.
Yes.
And so we're excited to be able to do some things in Cuba. So that leaves us, the three of us, to
talk. We'll hold down the fort.
We'll hold down the fort, and we're going to talk about John's prologue. That's our focus here at Christmas. And it's a little bit different kind of Christmas story, because it's not really the Christmas story.
There's no sheep and no nativity
scene. There's no baby Jesus.
No manger.
No manger. It's a little bit different way to think about what happened at Christmas, but it's really important because it's sort of a more theological. It's like, what are the implications? I mean, the other gospels tell us the story, but John really explains to us the significance and like what this meant for humanity that Jesus was born. So it's a great text to focus on at Christmas time. John's gospel is not a synoptic gospel, right? The other three are called the synoptic gospels. John's is different. Let's talk a little bit about why.
Why is it different, Lisa? I think you have
that's a
great
question,
insight.
Lisa.
The guys nominated me to answer this
all
question.
All in favor for Lisa.
Before, so I'm pitching this question to myself. Well, I think one of the reasons is John, most scholars believe John was the last gospel written. So many of the other gospels were compiled, you know, within 30 years, 40 years of Jesus's resurrection. The Gospel of John is a little bit later. Some scholars have speculated that it's might be because he had a chance to see the other gospels in circulation and recognized what opposition there might be to the message of the gospel and sort of tailored his gospel to address some of those. Most church historians will locate John in Ephesus in the latter part of his life. Of course, we know he ends up exiled and when he writes Revelation, but much of his ministry was done in Ephesus, they believe. And that would be to a largely Greek audience, a largely Gentile audience. Also, he is sort of reflecting on, like, you know, like we just talked about, he's reflecting on the impact, the influence, and the significance of what Jesus did in just a really beautiful way. And it's a beautiful gospel. Yeah. And the prologue is just so deeply profound. It's worth meditating on every line as you go through. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So, Mark, What does the beginning of John's gospel resemble?
Yeah, thanks for that question.
Mark had no idea that was coming.
I just didn't know. No, I'm glad that you let me speak on that a little bit. I have a friend of mine who's an Old Testament scholar, and we talked about this for about an hour the other day. And obviously, he tailors this to both audiences, mm-hmm. both Greek and the Jewish people. But if you're familiar with the book of Genesis, in the beginning, it reflects right back there. And what my friend said is what he revealed in God in the first chapter of Genesis, he will say there's everything that is in Christ or the Word in here. And so in the beginning, God speaks and brings everything into existence. And God is a self-revealing God, and that's how he reveals himself. And I think this is a new creation. I look into the commentator Leon Morris, and he referred to this as a new creation event mm-hmm. of humanity, just like it was in the beginning. And what I thought for me and for a congregation up there is that Christmas is a new beginning. Jesus came to recreate humanity and then eventually everything else, mm-hmm. right? And this is a very hopeful thing for us.
Yes, it's good news.
It is. This is good news in a crazy world.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That we can be recreated in him, and that's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And I see that kind of unpacked as he looked throughout the gospel there. So that really brings hope to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he's in some ways retelling the creation story mm-hmm. with Jesus right at the center of it,
mm-hmm.
Down to there being light,
mm-hmm.
right? And then he says that, you know, the light has come, right? That
right.
in him was life and light. And what does mm-hmm. God do in the beginning? He speaks the light into existence and then creates.
And there's life that comes out. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also really interesting. And people have, like we were talking, have gone really deep on this.
Yes.
Why John refers to Jesus as the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Greek, that would have been logos.
Mm-hmm.
And that word has a lot of significance, both to a Greek audience and to a Jewish mm-hmm. audience. Mm-hmm. So Jaime, what's significant about him calling Jesus the Word?
Well, I think the Jewish audience would hear that word and they would have something in mind, and they would go back, as Mark said, to Genesis 1, and they would know that God created the universe through his word. And that they would have that in mind as they heard that audience. And then the Greek mind would hear the word logos, and logos being a philosophical term among the Greek community and the normal person, in the normal Greek, they would hear that, and they would connect it to wisdom, to knowledge, understanding. And because the Greeks had so many gods, it was almost also impersonal in some sense, because mm-hmm. it's disconnected. It's a god of many gods, or a value of the many values that we hold. But John calls Jesus the Logos, the Word. And so there's a personalization of it, an aspect that this is not just one of many gods, but this is the God.
Yeah, I think, and it would have been really mind-blowing to them to think about this idea of this message, this wisdom, this understanding, this word.
Not one of many, but.
Yeah, being personal like mm-hmm. that, though. Being a person, mm-hmm. a single person. Yeah. So John is really emphasizing Jesus's divinity in this opening section. You know, I mean, he places Jesus right there mm-hmm. at creation.
Yeah.
And not just like sort of sitting on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm. No. He's the main player.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, yeah, he was, the Word was God, and the Word was with God, both. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's mind-blowing too. Yeah.
All this is like just, John doesn't make any bones about what he's saying here.
Right.
And I looked at Earl Rodmacher. He was a Greek scholar, and he said when the Word was with God, he says that twice, one and two.
Mm-hmm.
The word that he uses there is a very strong word, a strong preposition. He could have used something else, but that preposition was strong. And it was the Son is oriented, or the Word is oriented to God. And we'll later see it's the Father in forever relationship to Him. Mm. It is, it's really powerful, and that they're closely connected there. And that's the way it's always been.
Wow. Yeah. So you get strong, obviously, Trinity implications, Trinitarian implications from John 1. And this is one of the texts that Christians will look to when people go, you know, I understand how you can believe in, you know, one God in three persons. That seems in the, and we look at John and we go, no, but yes, it's hard to understand, but it's crystal. John makes it very clear that that's what he's saying.
That's right. It's not hidden.
Yeah. And so that's amazing. And then I love this part. And we're in verse four, when he says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And that's so significant, I think, particularly at Christmas time, when we are in the darkest part of the year, right? And I, you know, like I said earlier, one of the reasons why we put our Christmas tree up so early is because I needed some light. I was like, as soon as we changed the clocks, I was like, now that it's dark at like 5:15, I'm like, I gotta have some light.
I'm with you.
And I think about how, you know, we live in this world of electric light, and you know, we all live in the suburbs or the city. Well, you live more out in the country, Mark, but yeah, I mean, it's you can hardly get in the dark. You know, there's street lights, and you know, this light pollution is everywhere.
Right.
And when you, and I think when you must have lived 2,000 years ago without so much electric light,
right?
It must have been very dark.
No, at you're night. So right. Yeah,
you know, and think about trying to stumble your way around in a, you know, starless, moonless night in the Near East. And so I think they might have even appreciated more than us just the, you know, the
magnitude of him saying that.
Yeah. And the security you find in light. Think about how, you know, when you're frightened, what you want is to turn all the lights on. If there's a weird noise in the house,
right,
what do? You get up, turn the lights on.
Yeah.
Right. Because you know, in the light, things will be illuminated and then at least you know what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so there's comfort in light. There's security in light. We can't function without it.
And then the connection between life and light, all the way back to Genesis, and when I was looking at Morris about this, when Jesus said, when it says this, that he in him was life, that he's the source of all life, and you start thinking about how he unpacks that through the gospel. John 3:16, you believe in him, you have eternal life. Then in John chapter 5, in the Father was his life. And so he's given it, Jesus speaking, and he's given it to the Son, have life. Then you think about the woman at the well. If you believe in me, out of you will flow rivers of living water. I'm the shepherd, and I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. I'm the resurrection and the life. So this is just something that he's a source of life, and it just unpacks itself all the way to the end.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah,
great motif. Uh-huh.
Yeah, a great point. And a bold claim.
Yes.
A very bold claim. In him was life, right? Obviously, not only life, but light, and the light that can't be overcome.
And, you know, later on, I believe it's in John 8, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world.
Yeah.
And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's metaphorical. It's that way. But we think about following Jesus in the confusing world that we live in. Mm-hmm. That's, to me, that gives me a way, and also the great comfort that you're talking about.
Right.
That I this isn't all there is, and we're headed to a different place, a better place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you just think about darkness representing, you know, that evil thrives in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And he's going to talk about this later about how that people didn't necessarily want
the light.
The light. Mm-hmm. They rejected the light because it's, you know, What do they tell you to do if you want to make your house more secure, right? Put lights around the outside because thieves are less likely to try to break in if they're standing under a porch light.
Smile.
Yeah. Of course, now we have the benefit of
now
cameras.
They're on camera. So, yeah.
But yeah, so I think just it's a metaphor, but it's like almost deeper than a metaphor because Jesus really is the thing that you go to. He's who you, the person you go to in the darkness because you know he has the light.
Yeah, and the book of Revelation says that in the future glory, after it's all said and done, there will be no sun because he himself will be the light.
Yeah.
There will be no need. Is it literal? Is it metaphor? But I think
right.
But we will see because we see by Jesus.
That's
right. Which is amazing. And again, there's that connection to truth, right? Yeah. We recognize that in Jesus, there is truth and light and life. Mm-hmm. And that's who we turn to for those things. Yeah. And in a confusing world, like you said, Mark, in a dark world, in a confusing world, in a place where bad things happen to good people, you know, where do you go? Where do you go in the dark? Where do you go in the confusing times? And Jesus says, me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You come to me. Mm-hmm. So I just love that, those first five verses.
I look at these verses, Lisa, and I look at my own life where sin has thrived, or just depression, anxiety has thrived. We always use words like darkness. I was in a dark moment.
I was in a dark place. Yeah.
I remember going through a time of just extreme depression, and I didn't even want to leave my bedroom. The curtains were closed and everything, and I was so depressed and I needed the light.
Yeah. Well, there's just a heaviness in those places and a sense of lifelessness, right? When you're depressed like that sense of like, I can't get out of bed. It's like, I can't live life. I can't get up and move and be active and do all the things. It's recognizing even in those dark moments, because, you know, I recognize that people, a lot of times with people who are dealing with serious depression, I've gone through episodes myself where, you know, I would try to pray, I would try to read verses, and just, you know, people would encourage me, and it just, nothing seemed to lift the darkness, the heaviness. But you still hold on to the hope that one day you will see the light again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you may be in a dark place now, but there's light. And so for people who are listening, let that be hope to you.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I think, as you said, Lisa, a lot of times during the holidays, people struggle a lot because they think I'm supposed to be
really super joyful.
Yeah, and everything's supposed to be perfect, and it's not.
Yeah.
People struggle. But I think this new beginning and this new creation that Jesus brings about, and that he is life and light, and even when John had to say this, he went through a lot of difficulties in his own life, right? But there is great hope in this new creation because we're reading about this.
Right.
He wrote this down for us. So I think this new beginning in Christmas is a great thing to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful because it's like the end of the year, yet you're celebrating a new beginning.
Exactly.
And I love this idea of Advent being like this time of waiting. Mm-hmm. And it was a time of waiting back then because they were waiting for the Messiah, but it's a time of waiting still for us because we're waiting for his return.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when everything will be made right.
Right.
And so it's a lot about holding on and remembering that you're not the one that has to conjure the light.
Yeah.
You don't have to try to fix yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't have to sort of, you know, I know it's a fun song to sing about let your little light shine.
This little light of mine.
Yes, exactly. But you don't have to conjure the light in yourself. You don't have to conjure the joy in yourself and try to fake it until you make it. It's like you've recognized that it's in a person. It's Jesus.
Yeah.
And you cling to him.
Yeah.
In all the difficulties. And man, can't the holidays be something else? I mean, all of a sudden you're around people that maybe you're not around the rest of the year. And sometimes
that's a joy. And then
sometimes it's a joy and sometimes it's a bit of a struggle.
A chance to practice the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes, it's the fruit of the Spirit. But it's an opportunity for us to have meaningful conversations with people and to talk about Jesus and to talk about the hope that we find in him and, and be real about it. Go, hey, you know, sometimes I'm bummed and this thing that happened, this was a rough year for whatever reason, but you know what? I have the hope of Jesus because he came for us at Christmas.
I mean, I look at what you've gone through, Lisa, and here you are right now.
Right.
Leading our podcast, and it's amazing.
It's a miracle. It really is.
How you've clung to the light.
You know? Yeah, it's it's Jesus. And it's a miracle because it's been hard. Yeah. You know, it's I don't want to like pretend it hasn't been.
No, no. Right. And one hand, you know, you might not even should have been here.
No,
humanly speaking.
Mm-hmm. Humanly speaking.
So that's a joy. You're still here, and your mother to your children, a wife to your husband, and your relationship. You're getting to do this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's been a very difficult road.
Yeah, and it's not. It's not over.
Right.
So could you imagine someone going what you went through without having the hope of Jesus, the light?
I don't. I understand why people get despondent in these kind of situations. I really do. Because if I didn't have, I mean, look, your family will motivate you to an extent. And, you know, my kids, I was like, I got to get better for the kids. I got to keep hanging in there. I can't just lay in this bed and, you know, wish to die. Mm-hmm. I got to keep going for the people that love me. But that only takes you so far if you don't know that there's hope.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't believe, for me, and it's, for me, it's the hope of the resurrection, which I know, wrong time of year. But sorry.
Hey, you're warming folks up.
I skipped to Easter. We're doing a little Easter preview. But yeah, it's the hope of the resurrection. And it won't always be like this. Yeah. And even though, and just to update people a little bit, my kidneys never completely came back. And so I'm going to need a kidney transplant. And so I'm still walking a difficult road. It's not over yet. And I really thought, you know, 4 or 5 months ago and laying in the hospital, I thought, okay, by Christmas, I'll be fine. You know, I'll be back to normal. But I'm not, but I'm not, but I'm still hanging in there because no matter come what may in this life, I have the hope of the resurrection, you know? So, all right, back to Christmas. See, Bruce is gone and we're just wandering all over the place.
John 1:6-8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light.
All right, well, let's look at the next part. This is the text that you guys are going to talk about this weekend in your sermon, and that is John 1:6-8. And it's an interesting sort of interlude there because all of a sudden it's almost like John switched topics and you're like, where'd you go, John? Why are you? But, you know, he talks about John the Baptist. Okay. So why are we talking about John the Baptist, Jaime?
Well, because he's now the messenger that's going to share, that is preparing the way for the Lord. He's the, we see John in the book, in the other gospels, preparing the way for the Lord. He plays a key role. He's also the connecting point of the prophet, connecting us to the Old Testament, where the Old Testament left off, right? It was prophesied there was going to be someone who was going to prepare the way of the Lord, and so John is functioning as this bridge, bringing us into now the full revelation of who Jesus Christ is. There's a sort of an inauguration here with John the Baptist presenting Jesus and John doing the work of testifying concerning that light.
Yeah, which is fascinating to be the witness to the light. And although none of us are John the Baptist, which I never wanted to eat locusts and wild honey, so I'm really good with, well, the wild honey would have been all
right. I've had crickets, but close.
You're the closest of us all.
I mean, but his whole role was to point the way to Jesus. And in some ways, that's our role as well, is to be a witness to the light.
Yeah.
Just like we were just talking about, that we point people and go, hey, I don't have all the answers, but I know who does. And let me point you the way.
I love how verse 8 says, he himself was not the light. Yeah, I don't have all the answers, right? But I know who does.
I'm not the light. Lisa's not the light, but I can be a witness to the light. So what about you, Mark? Anything you're excited about talking about John the Baptist?
Well, you know, as I've thought about John the Baptist, when not just here, but also the other Gospels, you know, I've always thought about him as the Old Testament prophet, pointing people to Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think about his ministry. He told religious people that they needed to repent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was talking to the Jewish people that were religious people.
Mm-hmm. Who thought they had God's favor on their side.
Hey, we're the select, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, as I understand it, it points to our need.
Yeah.
Our need. You know, I need what Jesus has to offer. Mm-hmm. When I come to that, and when God opens my mind and my life to my need for him, Jesus isn't just a good person or a nice mm-hmm. teacher. He becomes life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He becomes life for you, because I need God to do what I cannot do in myself. And he is a recreator, right? So mm-hmm. That's the way I see John's role in my own perspective about that. So that's really important. If I don't see my need for Jesus, then Christmas is just another holiday.
Yep. And a stressful one at that.
Exactly.
An expensive,
expensive, stressful. And how do I make my mother-in-law happy with,
My kids.
My kids.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, there's a lot. And so I hope that all of you who are listening take some time out to get alone with the Lord and reflect on these things. Because in the craziness of the season, it is just so easy to be all about the stuff and the food and the decorations and the parties and all that stuff's great. I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
But if I don't spend some time alone with Jesus, I get stressed out real fast.
Yeah. I do too, right? Yeah. There's so much, there are good things, but they can,
it's just
crazy.
It's just a busy time of year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Christmas though a little bit. Just kind of personally, what are you looking forward to, Jaime, as you approach the Christmas season? And we came out of Thanksgiving, right? Yep. And we let all the turkey digest, and now we're moving into Christmas. What are you looking forward to in the next few weeks?
Well, definitely the food. I know it doesn't sound too spiritual, but
the cookies.
I do. Yes. Because there's those in the Mexican culture, there's those dishes you only cook during Christmas time. And I smell the aromas and I see the colors, and it makes me feel so warm inside to have that. And so I always look forward to those special meals that we have, the special food that is cooked only during Christmas season, those recipes my mom or my wife only pulls out during that time. And so that I look forward to. But also giving taking the opportunity to be able to bring my family together. Mm-hmm. We have a couple traditions that we've been doing for several years now where we sit down and, you know, we've brought John into our conversation as a family, because usually we tell the Christmas story and we start with the nativity scene. But lately, we actually preached about John 1, I think now, what was that?
7 years?
Something like that.
I may be off, but yeah.
It was during that time, Lisa, that was about 6-7 years ago that we made this, I added this component where DJ was, you know, what, 10 years old or 9 years old during that time, and Junior was in high school. The thought that my youngest son would think that Jesus was created on Christmas Day, or he had only a beginning of a human form
as
or
a baby,
human body. Because, as a child, you could only relate to what you know.
Right.
So Jesus was created, Jesus began, and helping him understand that, no, Jesus didn't begin in the nativity scene and baby Jesus. He was already existent as God. And so every year we bring John 1 into the conversation, and it's allowing us to see Jesus in the light of before he was incarnate, his incarnation, and then look forward to his second coming.
Yeah.
And so it's made our family tradition a lot more than just a birthday cake for Jesus, which we always have.
And which is great when they're
which is
little.
Good, yes.
That's a great place to start if you've got little.
Right.
Well, my kids aren't little anymore, but we still have a birthday Jesus cake.
Well, cake is always welcome.
We still do it. But it's allowed us to have a more complete thought and image of who Jesus is than just being a created being that or thinking that he created and had a point of beginning at the nativity.
That's so good. I'm going to do that this year too, Jaime. You've inspired me. Good job.
You're a lot more spiritual than I am. No. Man.
All right, Mark, what about you? What are you excited about?
Hey, I'm excited. I'm with you on the food bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just the time to get all that. I like all the greasy stuff bad for you, but it just tastes so good.
This is the time really of year you get to year you get to eat it.
Man, it's good. And my wife she's part Italian, and so they make homemade ravioli every Christmas. I mean, I know that's not like the normal tradition of turkey, but man, I love it.
That's fantastic.
It's awesome. And I love eggnog in my coffee. That is just,
there's nothing better. Right?
Oh man, I love eggnog. It's great. So that's when you get to do that. And having my family together, my son's off at college. He's going to come back probably like you. And that's going to be great. And, just being around family and things like that, that's just really good.
Yeah. I'm the same way. My kids are getting older now. Mm-hmm. My youngest is 16. My next one's 18 and the oldest is 22. Thank goodness they've all had birthdays. And so now they're all even numbers again and I can remember their ages. but it's harder to get us together.
Right.
Yeah. You know, when you're raising littles, you think I'm never going to be alone again because they're like outside the bathroom door, you know, while you're trying to get in. And now it's like, I miss them because we're just scattered and, you know, they're busy and they have jobs and my oldest is at college. And so having them home is really, it's like, I sound like my mother and my grandmother's like, all I want for Christmas is my family together. But it's true. That is all I want for Christmas is just having them all. Cause they're, you know, just having them with me, is so important. And I think, you know, not to keep circling it back to me, but after what we've been through this year as a family, just having that time together is even more precious.
Yeah. Real and special for you guys.
Yeah. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And I like all the decorations and the music and I just like holiday. Mm. I'm going to put on the Hallmark Channel and watch some crazy, cheesy Christmas movies.
And they put out a lot.
Oh my goodness. Yes. It's gotten a little out of control.
Yeah.
Like 24/7. Maybe OD on Christmas.
Mark, do you decorate the Christmas tree?
Well, my wife makes sure. I just do what I'm told.
There you go. Lisa, you got two guys right here.
Hey, man, I like it. I like it that way. So I help set the tree up, and then, you know, we kind of get together. And they'll tell me to put the ornament there.
Yes.
I'm not
right there.
There,
Mark.
Yeah. That's my rule, too. Yep. Take the Christmas tree out of the attic and
And I get it to the place, you know.
Yes, yes. Well, I had to have extra help this year, and my kids really pitched in because usually it's mostly me.
Yeah.
And this year they, you know.
Yeah. And I don't like all the decorations.
Yeah,
I just don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're excited about Christmas here at Christ Fellowship. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been to see the church, is beautiful.
And our Christmas Eve service is coming up too.
Christmas Eve service is coming up, and which is always fantastic. Yes. That is actually something we always look forward to.
Yes.
It's like a tradition. Mm-hmm. And we started really young, back when we used to have a family service and we used to shake the keys and sing jingle bells.
Yes.
all the way up to now the candlelight services that we do. Mm-hmm. And my kids just love it. And it wouldn't be Christmas if we didn't come to Christ Fellowship and do Christmas. So we hope that you and your family will consider joining us as well. What about you guys and Anna? Do you have
a Christmas Eve service as a community. We were going to join First Christian Church in Grace and Peace. Mm-hmm. There's a traditional church building there in the town. It's really beautiful. And we can't use a school on that night, but we're going to worship with those guys together.
I love that. That's awesome, fantastic, Mark. And what a great community thing to do.
Community service we're having.
Yes, for all the people of Anna to come.
Awesome.
I love that. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, we hope, dear listener, that you are preparing your heart for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back. We've been a little inconsistent the last few months, and that's largely due to me, but I'm getting better and we're going to be back on schedule. So yes, we will keep doing these Christmas episodes up until we get to Christmas, and we'll take a couple of weeks off for the holidays, but then we will be back very consistently in the new year for 21 days and then the book of James.
Excited about that.
I know. Excited about that as well. All right. Well, Jaime, would you close us in prayer?
Yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the light. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, And Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you've given here in our country and around the world to celebrate the birth of your son, Lord. We do pray that we can make a decision to find the time and the space to be able to think and ponder the greatness of your love manifested in your son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We ask your blessing on our listeners, Lord, as we desire to be like John the Baptist and point people to the light this Christmas season, Lord. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, everybody, we'll see you back next week. Mm-hmm.